Toad's Place tonight. Foo Fighters. Unbelievable. Oh. Chaz and AJ in the morning. 99.1 PLR. Jimmy Koplik on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, what's your last 24 hours been like?
Well, had some time with you, some time at Ruth. It was very nice. And some time with some friends online at Toad's. And as you mentioned earlier, we were eagerly awaiting for the 2 o'clock social media announcement so we can go on the radio on PLR. And it's 2:05, and you and I are sitting there, 2:10, 2:15, 2:20, and we couldn't wait. And finally at 2:30, they posted it.
And then all hell breaks loose. I wonder how many texts you got.
It is unbelievable. People that have not spoken to me in 20 years, all of a sudden, wow. Hello, good friend.
Oh, the nerve.
Come
my
on.
My buddy.
Yeah.
Jimmy, how's your summer been?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, it's remarkable how people use us when they need us. But when we're in need or we're just regular, they don't pay any attention to us.
Shameless desperation.
Well, that's true. You're absolutely
yeah, it is a show that registers throughout the entire country. So this state, instantly, when you went on PLR, this state became a beehive of activity. Concert people dropping everything there in the middle. We're going to talk to a guy, Jimmy, who was at Griffin Hospital as his mom was in surgery. And he calls his wife, says, what do I do? And she's like, go.
I want to marry that woman.
Exactly right. That's a great wife.
That is a good point.
Handcuffs on me to the bed by my wife.
He picked well.
So how did this all happen?
Well, we heard about this possibility. First, I want to give credit to Kurt Isley, who is our young booker in our office, who really, I want to say, headed this whole thing. I advised, but I have to give Kurt the credit for, you know, handling this whole thing. So I want to put that right up front. So anything I say should be a we and not an I going forward. He had taken out the agent for dinner about, I'd say, 6-8 weeks ago. And the agent mentioned that the Foos were thinking of doing some shows, surprise gigs. And we right away threw up the amp in Bridgeport. We know that Dave loved the amp. We knew about the unfortunate cancellation in Bridgeport of the festival, on their appearance at the festival. So we thought the best way to approach this was come back to Bridgeport. We held a date. Actually, we were holding tomorrow night at Bridgeport for a while when this was going on. We were actually holding tomorrow night for the Foos. We kept it quiet. Howard knew about it, but most everybody else didn't know about it. And about a week and a half ago, they turned it around and they said, we're not playing big rooms. I guess they had a tour set up for some big rooms like Bridgeport. And we're going to go back into clubs, which was personally very disappointing to me because I really wanted to bring them to Bridgeport. I thought it would be a very appropriate thing. In turn, and I love Howard, and I wanted Howard to get another Foo Fighters show, which I thought would be great. So I thought we were completely out. Kurt came up with the idea of, let's try Toad's. So I said, you know, it's great history. Let's give it a shot. We put together a wonderful email to send to the agent about Toad's history. You know, as we all know, there were 4 or 5 artists that have played there when they were headliners. Bon Jovi, Billy Joel. Arena headliners. Bon Jovi, Billy Joel, Bob Dylan. Of course, the Rolling Stones. And we thought, you know, let's finish out Five Fingers. Let's put the Foo Fighters in there. So we themed the whole idea of let Dave join this pantheon of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers and come to Toad's and build it at Toad's. As I said earlier, Kurt ran with it. I didn't run with it. I don't even know the agent. They're all young, you know, in the business now. I don't really know too many agents anymore. And I have to give Kurt the credit. They came up and said, is this date available? It was originally going to be tomorrow night at Toad's. Then they moved it, is this date available, meaning tonight at Toad's. And we said yes. And they said, okay, we're going to send a team of production people there to look at Toad's. And they must have Googled Toads also, which is good to see, you know, how many clubs have been around for 50 years. We also highlighted the fact that it happens to be the 50th anniversary of Toads this year. And we had great acts like Jerry Cantrell and Jack White, and we've been Collective Soul this Friday. These headliners that aren't anywhere near as big as the Foo Fighters, but still we were getting a history of good headliners to play Toad's 50th anniversary. And the production team came up last week, and we then had to tell a few more people about it. We had to tell, of course, Brian knew about it, the owner of Toad's. And then we had to tell the production manager at Toad's. Didn't say who it was, but we said, you know, an artist's coming. Please be there. They loved the room. They thought it was great. You know, Brian's really smart. He puts all the great stars that play to Toads up on the walls. So when the production team came in and saw, you know, Cardi B and Foo Fighters and Bon Jovi and Bruce and everybody else.
Stevie Ray. You too.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Police. Now, just goes on.
Yeah,
it does go on. And I said to the manager who was at Toads yesterday when everybody was online, and he asked me, hey, how was U2? I said, well, U2, I only paid $100 to. I said, and we didn't really do it right. I have to admit that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, the marketing person at Toads put the U and then a dash and two Roman numeral ones up there when we had U2 as an opening act to a band that was meaningless called Baruga Bandit. Oh, they didn't play here as headliners? I go, no, they were $100 opening act is all they were. But they played here.
They played.
Yep.
They did play there. So production people went back and said what a great room it was. And we got word on Wednesday of last week, 6 days ago, that the gig's going to happen. So we've known about it for a week, and now this problem was keeping it a secret. And, of course, I got all the other times with the other superstars. If it gets out, we're not showing up. So we clearly didn't want to let it get out. So then we had to figure out how do we put tickets on sale. Initially, it was going to be put on sale this morning. We were going to go on the air with you guys, and we're going to announce it this morning. But we thought the city of New Haven in the morning would be really a bad time to put the show on sale. People are still sleeping. Let's do it in the afternoon. Then we thought maybe we'd put it on sale this afternoon and make people stand there and have to come in. We didn't like that idea because people have kids and you can't just stand there and all of a sudden leave your kid at home who might be in school during the day and nobody's home to get the kid. We finally decided let's do it the day before, which was yesterday. We decided 4 o'clock was a good time to do it. People are getting out of work. They can leave work early. Work's a lot different now than it was pre-pandemic. We couldn't do it too late because Toads had an event last night, so we had to get the thing going and get it the line through. We didn't know how long it would take to sell the tickets. So, I shouldn't say sell the tickets, give the wristbands out. And that's how it happened. We started putting everything together on Thursday and Friday of the week, past week, and over the weekend we kept our fingers crossed that nobody would open their mouths. About 10 people on my staff knew about it. And I don't know how many people at Toads knew about it. And we told Howard, because I know I love Howard, and I know he would be disappointed. I was disappointed. I would love to have seen it in Bridgeport. So we told Howard on Friday that it was playing Toads. He was wonderful, kept it quiet. And that's how it happened. And then we went on sale with it. We announced it yesterday, as I said, as you said, on Lappy's show. And went down to the line. Ruth and I were there. And as I said to a number of people online, they were all thanking me, which was very kind and very nice. I said, this is something you will remember 30 years from now. Like I remember the Rolling Stones today, and that was 30 some odd years ago when the Rolling Stones played there. And I remember vividly right now I do. And I said, in 30 years, you're going to remember this. How many memories will you get that you will remember 30 years from now? Congratulations. Tomorrow night, which is now tonight, you will have one.
Wow. Were you nervous that, were there signs that it was starting to get out?
No, not really. You know, we were having fun watching the tease on social media. We were really having fun doing it.
Silly Putty.
Silly Putty was the best. I mean, not many people realize Silly Putty was invented in New Haven. We didn't even realize they knew that. But, you know, the first was the Carpenters, which you had mentioned. They were born in New Haven, the Carpenters. I would have preferred to see my friend Michael Bolton's music, but they chose the Carpenters' music. And then Dave was wearing a Connecticut shirt.
Right.
And that was, the second tease. Then they put an old punk band that was from New Haven up on there with Four Monkeys and their album cover that they did, a band I never heard of. But they heard of it. And they put that tease up there. And then finally they put the poster up there.
Unreal.
The Silly Putty said toad. Also, they wrote the word toad on the Silly Putty.
Oh.
Yeah, remember when you had Silly Putty and you can put it on a newspaper?
Kind of stretch it out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick it up and it's on the Silly Putty, and that's what they did. They, you know, you can recreate what's on the paper. It was very cool that they did that. New Haven has a great history. There's a wonderful museum down in New Haven called Lost in New Haven that will open up shortly. And there's a lot of firsts in New Haven. And Silly Putty's one of the first. So they really did their homework, the Foos. They're so creative. It's remarkable.
It really is. It's everything you want a rock band to be. And then some. Talking about the Foo Fighters, sold out tonight at Toad's Place. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation, on the show. And he just brought us through the whole process. That'll be our pod pick today. So if you miss it, or if you want to forward it to a friend, it'll be on the website later today. Jimmy, we have Matt, the producer from News 8, who was caught on News 8 camera saying his mom was in surgery at Griffin Hospital, but he left to get tickets. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Chaz. How you doing?
Good. Good. How's your mom?
She's doing all right. She's doing all right. You know, it's
great.
Gonna be a little bit of a recovery, but she'll be all right.
Okay. And did you tell her you left, or were you able to get back before she came to?
So I got back before she woke up. I got back to the hospital around 6, and we didn't get to go see her until about 7:30 last night. But one of the first things I told her was, "Hey, while you were in surgery, I had to make a quick run to New Haven."
That's pretty excellent timing.
Yeah, that
just
is
come
great.
Back with pizza. Be like, it's for you, Mom.
Yeah,
you would have just been sitting there worrying.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. We were sitting there in the waiting room and just sitting around. My wife showed me the post on the Foo Fighters Instagram page. It had been about 20 minutes since they posted it. And I was like, what do I do? Kind of my first thought was, I can't leave. My mom is in surgery. But she was like, go. So I was like, okay. And I went.
And now you're going tonight.
Now I'm going tonight. Yes, very excited about that.
Great. Good for you, man. I you were my favorite person in that Bob Wilson line walk.
Yeah, I love Bob. I've worked with Bob for about 10 years. He's great.
All right. Well, we'll see you tonight.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Matt from News 8. He was the guy who, well, you heard.
Believe it.
I saw that last night with Bob Wilson. Bob Wilson's a pretty excitable guy. I'll tell
he
you.
Is. He was like that 22 years ago, and he
really?
Has not lost a half a step.
And not even exactly right. Yeah.
Nothing.
He's exactly
he's
the same guy.
Just as excited.
Yeah.
He is so much fun. It's great.
He didn't know really what to say right after that.
So, Jimmy, this Foo Fighters show must have brought you back to when, like, the Stones reached out to you and said, we want to play Toads.
Yeah, it really brought back Billy Joel more than the Stones because, again, as you mentioned earlier, the Stones was a surprise show. So we didn't have to deal with ticket holders, and you were right what you said earlier. We only had about 450 people at the Stones, and we could have fit 1,000 people in there.
Man.
But it was an unannounced show. But when Billy Joel was there, we did the same thing. We were putting tickets on sale, actually, the morning of the show, noon. And so I get to Toads around 11 o'clock. This was 1980 when he was recording songs for his live album, Songs in the Attic. And he wanted to come to Toads. You know, he grew up on Long Island, wanted to come to Toads, knew all about it. And I get to the Toads around 11, and there's about 200 people online. And I go over to Mike Spernel, the owner of Toads at the time, co-owner with Brian, and I go, how are these people online? He goes, I don't know. I have no idea. So I go, okay, well, we're going to ask them. Come on, Mike, let's ask them. First person, how'd you get online? How'd you know about this? Mike Spernel told me. Second person, Mike Spernel told me. Every single person. I turn around to Mike and said, they all heard from you. I didn't tell anybody. I said, they're all standing here telling me that it was you.
To my face.
Really? You're here. Don't you hear? I don't know these people. So, well, Mike was a very good liar. So I decided to switch things up, and I went down to Long Wharf, set up a table at Long Wharf, and at noon we announced on PLR that the tickets are going to go on sale at Long Wharf, and all the people at Toad's had to then run down to a Long Wharf to get the tickets.
Oh, my so God.
I sort of screwed them. So, but they didn't deserve to be online anyway. But yesterday worked great because when we got there, the tease started with the Foo Fighters, and people were saying, oh, sounds like it's New Haven. Is it College Street? Is it Toad's? Or is it another club in Connecticut or whatever? And then people started to put one plus one together. It should be Toad's. It should be obvious. It's going to play Connecticut, and it's going to be in a club. It should be Toad's, because Toad's is truly the home of the Stars. And then people started lining up. So I think when it was announced, we had about 30 people online when it was announced.
Wow. And when the Rolling Stones reached out to you, they were practicing in Washington, Connecticut, and there was a blues artist, I don't know if it was John Lee Hooker, playing at Toad's, and they said, well, let's go. And they went, and they thought this would be a cool place to play. And did they reach out to you? How did that all come down?
You're right. They were rehearsing at a boarding school, a girls' boarding school that had closed up in Washington, Connecticut. And they had a history on the last two tours of playing a club in their home rehearsal spot. And they came to me, and they were going to do four shows originally. And I had to find four different clubs. And at that point, the Agora in Hartford was open. Toad's was open. Tuxedo Junction in New Haven was open. I mean, in Danbury was open. And the fourth was, I don't remember the fourth one. It was in Norwalk. I don't remember the name of the club. And so I held four consecutive weeks in those clubs. They were not ready. So I had to blow off one. I had to blow off a second. I had to blow off a third. They finally could do August 12th. That was the one they could do. So I just twisted everything around and said, let's just do Toad's. It's the right room. Forget the other three rooms. Let's just do Toad's. And they did the same thing, but Keith Richards came with them. When the production team came in, Keith came with the production team to look at the room.
That's cool.
Keith did not want to play a room that he had not seen. The other band members were fine with it, but not Keith. He wanted to feel the room and see the room, which to me is the mark of a real artist.
Right.
And so Keith came down with the production crew. And again, they love the room. Toad's is set up great. It's a good little room. And again, we had the history. We had Billy there. We had Bon Jovi there. Bob Dylan had not played there. But there was some history of superstars playing the room when they were superstars. And
a superstar lineup of sound and lighting people at Toad's. That sound system and those people are high level.
No question about it. There's no room that could be open for 50 years in the same spot without having great people work in it. It just doesn't happen that way. You have to have great people. And Brian has always hired great people to work for him.
So the Foo Fighters will be in the same dressing room that the Rolling Stones were in.
Yes. In fact, we just dressed up the dressing room. We're putting posters up of all the stars that played there. So we spent a lot of time. Kayla Krause, who works for us, spent a few days down there putting up posters, and it's really very cool. I mean, the posters have, I'm trying to see, Kendrick Lamar played there, U2, Post Malone, Jack White, Billy Joel, Cardi B, Foo Fighters, Rolling Stones, Teddy Swims, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan, Snoop Dogg, and now the new guy, Alex Warren. So these are all stars, people that became stars that have played Toad. So we put posters up in the dressing room. The dressing room looks really nice. We put new furniture in there. We have fixed it really nice.
I was going to say, because I was in the dressing room probably a few years back, but it needed some paint. But then do you paint the walls, or do you just, you got to leave them, right?
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you a picture of the dressing room right now.
Oh, great. Can I post it?
Yeah, I guess you can. Yeah, there it is. So I just sent it to you. So you'll have
it. Oh, wow. Oh, boy, is that different from what I remember?
It is Toad's.
That doesn't look like it smells like urine. That is nice.
Yeah, we did a pretty good job, right?
Wow. If you sent me that picture and said, where is this? I totes would be my not even last guess.
No, it'd be your man cave. That's a man cave.
That's a man cave. Yeah. So really nice.
Pretty cool.
I don't think the band can get into totes without like walking on the sidewalk. Do you think, are you anticipating a lot of people there just to grab a glimpse of Dave?
Yeah, I would love to bring him in through the front. I believe that Dave is probably the sort of guy that would like to do that. He's very fan friendly, and dealing with artists that are very fan friendly is a lot of fun. It's not like dealing with bands like In Excess or that I had issues with that were just total jerks.
Right.
And thought they were stars when they weren't stars.
Right. They want to be near the fans.
Dave is fan friendly. He's, you know, he's one of the nicest guys in the business ever. And I've been doing it for 57 years.
Wow.
And he's in my top 10 of nice guys.
Wow.
And I know the fans feel that way also.
Well, Jimmy, I know as this was approaching and we were talking, and I said several times, like, this wouldn't happen without you. And you gave all the credit to your staff and to that guy. But you made the infrastructure here in Connecticut to be a place that's cool to play. So thank you for that.
It is my pleasure. As I said to the manager yesterday of Foo Fighters, we have taken a small little state of 3 million people, and we have done more concerts in this state than any state of 3 million people in the country. And we're all very proud of it. And PLR is a very important piece of the puzzle, no question about it.
It's great.
You guys have been around for over 50 years also.
Right.
Same format.
You, PLR, and Toads all around for over 50 years. So.
Yep.
Yeah. And I wanted to, and then I'll wrap it up, but in your office, the seat I was sitting in next to you is a seat from the Meadows.
The original Meadow seat. Yes, it's an original Meadow seat I have in my office.
I wanted to put that on camera, but I was like, you know, people just want to hear about the Foo Fighters right now. So
we'll do it some other time.
Yeah. Jimmy, I'll see you tonight. Thank you, brother.
You got it. Good. Thanks.
Thank you.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.